studying Overcome. And we're in Revelation, so let's go to Revelation 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses. Now, the word here, they've gotten the victory, but it's the same as the word for overcome, nikael. Now, but look what it says. I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now, the other place that a sea of glass was seen was in Ezekiel, but it was made of brass that was shining. I mean, that was such, what do you call it?
It was polished.
Polished, that's the word I'm looking for. That it was used as the mirrors for women. So the sea of glass is really the sea of judgment. And those that have gotten the victory or have overcome stand on that. And it's the sea of glass is mingled with fire. And again, that's part of the end. So, but here's, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So what does it mean to have that victory, to overcome? They'd gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name.
They'd counted the over. Judging good and evil.
Let's look at 1 John. Go back a few pages.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but the beast is man. Us. Me. Is that right?
Yep. Verse 12 of 1 John chapter 1, or chapter 2. 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, the overcoming of the wicked one, or the evil one, is the same one in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, into ourselves, for any reason. So to get the victory over the beast, over the, what is it? Let's go back there. Victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, all has to do with no longer giving breath to any of your mind or your emotions. So you've gotten the victory over it all. And that victory is because Christ, the stronger man, if you will, and he was stronger in his weakness, overcame the evil one. And that's our only function. That's why we're alive. That's why we're in time and space. That's why time and space exists. To find out if you have overcome the beast. His image, his mark, and the number of his name. Does everybody understand?
What's the image part?
You, your name, your identity. It's all about finding out that you are sin. You don't do sin, you are sin. That's why death is the predicate of Christianity. So you've gotten the victory because time and space has thrown the best it has at you. The world, the devil, and the flesh.
So the predicate of Christianity, one of them is what? The abandoning of self-reliance.
Well, that's just another way of way of saying that that's better understood is it's the victory, it's your death. You're musing, Gary.
Well, the muse, if you will, is that it's like death is right on that borderline of repentance.
No, that's just another word for what godly repentance is.
You know what I'm thinking?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm thinking?
What are you thinking?
I mean, I always appreciate letting me finish my sentences.
Oh, I thought you had a period there. I'm sorry, Gary.
This is common and I want to call it out because I don't like it. You know I don't like it, so here it
is. Okay, I did. I thought you were done. I'm sorry.
Let me make my point.
Make your point.
It's like this constant mystery of we're dead, yes, and yet we live. And so in that yes, we live arena, apparently that's where repentance happens. And it's always, it's mysterious in a way because we have to say it so much. It's like it doesn't just go away. Repentance, because things are always coming at us and trying to move us back into self. And so there's a point where we're rejecting. And I'm always trying to come up with another way of seeing it, because one way kind of just wore out. You know, repentance is kind of a worn out word for me. But rejecting
the evil one.
Yeah, rejecting it has a little more power this morning.
Well, it was the point of, I understand what your point was. It's the point between saying you are dead and yet you're alive.
Yeah, that.
But that's the point that Paul said, when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I is always the position. Again, it all has to do with, everything comes back to, when you finally reach that point of the end, everything comes back to Ecclesiastes. I have seen and agree with everything that's in Ecclesiastes, that it's all, it's vanity of vanities, all is vanity. All is fruitless and empty, puff of smoke, vexation of spirit. A translation of vexation of spirit is literally chasing wind, and you can never catch wind. So it's seeing within you, with every muscle, nerve, and fiber of your being, emptiness of your life. And therefore, it's again, it's from God's example was the baptism of Christ happened exactly 3.5 years before. I mean, he was buried 3.5 years before he died, but he caused the sacrifice to cease by his baptism. That was because that, in effect, God was the ultimate sacrifice. It fulfilled everything. But then, because he was both Son of God and Son of Man, that 3.5 year period where the devil threw the world of flesh and the devil threw everything they could at him to see if anything would get his attention. But again, he did some stuff, as we've talked about. He fed a few. Why didn't he feed everybody? He healed a few. Why didn't he heal everybody? He raised a few from the dead. Why didn't he raise everybody from the dead? Because he couldn't be tested as Son of Man along those lines to reject it unless he knew he possessed it. You're only tested along the lines of the thing that you possess. The same is true. Now that exact same thing is going on in us. From the time, the moment that you have a born-again experience, or born from above, you're born from above, not from here, then everything happens. I kind of wish I'd never said this, but I used to say all the time, you know, to the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot. That's like, I kind of wish they didn't say, I don't care what it costs me. I mean, all of those are the things that your mind would say. But again, that's what this overcoming is.
Yeah, that's where I was leaking, and I just caught it while you were talking. It's like, we started out at Revelation 15 in the sea of glass, and it's judgment, and you've overcome because you've been through the fire and tested. Nothing can touch you now. You've rejected, you've seen the futility, and you're in that overcome place. But to get there, you go through this miasma of repentance. You repent because you know better. You've seen, you've experienced, you've understood. So you don't entertain the bullshit of the world anymore. You just realize it's stupid. And that's kind of the point. You quit giving it power, giving it breath.
Another way of saying repentance is you the only thing you're repenting of is that you've resurrected the evil one from the dead.
Yeah.
No matter what it is that you're doing with him, that's
and you're talking to him.
And while you're listening to him.
Yeah, and you're carrying on.
But this is, let's go to one more overcome. Revelation 21.
Do we really overcome? What a man who has overcome, a man who has achieved his victory, what's his walk look like?
He's concerned only with the welfare of others.
You can
no longer self for self, it's self for others. That's the whole, but that breaks the fruit of the curse. Again, but if you ever, let's go to 21, then we'll talk about it a little bit more. Everybody there? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, or a new land. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with, or better stated, in men. Again, remember, where is the word tabernacle or temple in the New Testament, except for the one place where it talks about Jesus destroys the temple and in 3 days resurrects it, or raises it again. He destroys the Hieron, the whole complex. But what's built again is only the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And that's what you as the temple of God contain. And so, the tabernacle of God is in men, and he will dwell in them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be in them, and he is their God, and be their God. So that's the whole mystery. Now, the whole walk of trend of what we call sanctification, or in my way of saying, getting the pepper out of the salt shaker, is by the renewal of your mind. That's the agency for removing the pepper. That's really, because again, if something is created to be a salt shaker, then it's, if it only has salt in it, then it is holy. It is sanctified. It is saintly. Because that's what that word hagios means. But if you, within that, if you have any pepper or sand or anything else but salt, then it is unholy. And it doesn't matter to the degree that you have. If you had one grain of pepper in there, one grain of minuscule grain of sand, it would make the vessel unholy. So sanctification is going from innocence, if you will, to holiness by testing. Now, that's why you got to hear this one. Jesus, let's go to Matthew 18. Verse 1. And it came to pass I was just thinking about it came to pass, because I just read a whole bunch of stuff about it came to pass in the Talmud. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto them, and that's that darling infant, and set him on in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble or empty himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the only thing that can mean, it can't be the terrible twos. There can't be anything after the terrible twos, because after the terrible twos, all children become con artists. They know how to manipulate you. If any of you are parents, you know that. So this is before self-awareness. Darling infant, except you be converted and become as the little child. And you become as that little child by discarding everything. Everything that has made you, you is discarded. in that discarding. You can't discard it if you place any value on it. So you become, if you don't do that, if you don't discard it, you become spiritual hoarders. You can't help it because you think there's some fear deep within you or some guilt or something, and so you've got to keep all this stuff. Not, and again, material stuff isn't the problem. It's this stuff. You got opinions and ideas and what things should be and the way things should look and blah, blah, blah. And the first test you have to do is anything that you want to keep, and this is really the test of the conning of the omer, it's anything that you think is good doesn't meet the standard of truth, then it's discarded in the counting of the Omer. Now, the only thing that meets the standard of truth is the doctrine into which we've been delivered. There's no opinion that you can have. Does that make sense? So except you be converted and become as little child, as this little child, or this become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven or any other kingdom because you're already in one. And by nature, you can't help it. That's why out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. You will give breath to what you value. And it's as natural as breathing. That's why it says, love not the world. Give breath not to the things in the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world or gives breath to the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But that's all we've done our whole lives is give breath, think things are important. So that becoming as little child is a it's a biggie. What?
Well, I'm still thinking a lot of what John said, that what it looks like. And to see what it looks like, you look at the little child who is free and has fascination for a moment with a stick, but discards it
quickly
with no
wonderment.
Yeah. And then
picks up a rock. Because there's no self-awareness.
Yeah.
You don't see yourself as an isolated individual. You know, that's why all of the ancient fairy tales about the wicked witch, and all, we've talked about this for a long time ago, because that the mother who was their sustenance. And then she, when breastfeeding stops, you know, then there's a disconnect, and so the person that was their everything is transformed into the wicked witch, and that's almost, I mean, it's not almost, it is subconscious, and then because the moment the child feels abandoned for any reason, even if it's just, you know, out of sight for a second, you know, that's why anyway, we could spend over 16 years talking about that, but we probably have over the years. But except you become, be converted. Conversion experience is the born again. And you may not be able to time say a time of it. Because in, with many people, it's just dawning awareness. But it's born from above. That's what born again means, or born from the first estate. So your core of your being is truth. It's not. So anything that you have value that isn't, that doesn't meet the standard of truth, if it, anything you value changes with time, place, or circumstance, then it'll be discarded automatically if that's your life. Does that help, John? Any of that?
Well, sure, except my question was a little more devious than that.
No.
Well, what's your question?
What does it look like?
It just seems to me that what the apparent evidence of that victory, of that, of overcoming, the apparent evidence of that is the very things that the counting of the owner comes up against.
Let's go to Philippians real quick.
Can I write it now?
Yeah. Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter or something or other. Chapter 3. Verse 7. Well, actually, this is where he's talking about who he was after the flesh. Verse 4. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal of persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness or rightness about anything, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that for which that I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting or neglecting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, fully tested, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Again, it's nothing spiritually. It means it's meaningless to suffer the loss of all things. But to suffer the loss of all things and count them but dung, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Amen? I think we've spent it. No, we've got one more little dealie to do on overcome, and then we're going to next verse. Anybody? Take a big guy.